And we are recording. Madam Chairwoman, please.
Good morning. The Design Review Committee meeting of April 20th, 2021 is now open. My name is Rita Baker, and I'm the chair of the Design Review Committee. Before we proceed with the meeting, I would like the audience to know who we are and explain the process for the meeting. The Design Review Committee is a volunteer committee appointed by the Board of County Commissioners to review and make recommendations on design review applications referred to it by the Planning Director. The committee consists of a variety of professionals, community members with expertise in site and building design, including such elements as architecture, landscape, architecture, engineering, and graphic design. The process for the meeting today will be as follows. Planning and Zoning Division staff will present a staff report. Then we will have the applicant go over their proposed plans and address any issues raised in the staff report. Next, although this is not a land use hearing, we will provide an opportunity for the public to comment. And I'm guessing there's been no public queued up for this, Anthony?
That's correct.
Okay. The applicant will respond. Finally, the committee will discuss whether the application complies with the approved criteria in the zoning and development ordinance or can comply with appropriate conditions of approval. And the committee will vote on the recommendation. Although the committee is charged with making a recommendation on the application, the decision will be made by the planning director or designee. The planning director's decision may be appealed to the land use hearings committee by any party within 12 days of the date of decision. If you would like to provide, okay, we don't care about that. They're not going to be signing in. If you would like a copy of the planning director's decision, please provide your name and address. We also ask that you testify, okay, one at a time. Does any of the members have any ex parte contact to disclose?
No.
Okay, if there are no questions, I will open the meeting for file number Z0088-21-D. Anthony, please proceed with the staff report.
Great. Hello there. Good morning, everyone. Let me get my screen shared. Hoping everyone is seeing that in relatively good order. One moment where I sort my windows out. Okay. Thumbs up, everyone seeing? Cool. So our first of two projects today is, as was mentioned, Z008821, kind of the adaptive reuse of a restaurant for use as a tap house with a kind of novel approach to providing food service of 10, what I'm calling kitchen pods, placed in an adjacent parking area for food service. The site is set at the intersection of Southeast Sunnyside and 82nd, kind of Sunnyside between 82nd and 84th in the Clackamas Regional Center area. Carries the Regional Center commercial zoning, and this is a permitted use in the zone. There is no additional overlay zoning on the site, and the site was previously developed with a kind of commercial center, commercial strip center. The building itself was a fast casual style restaurant with Sweet Tomatoes for any of you who are familiar with the area. The quick look at the location map. As I mentioned, it's right here. It says Southeast 82nd. It's here on the west side. Sunnybrook. I said Sunnyside. Sunnybrook. Apologies. Why they put two Sunnies next to each other, I'll never know. 84th over here. Proposal is for some facade changes to rebrand the building, including new paint, some new awnings, and roll-top doors for access to the food cart, food pods, along with some limited changes to materials. The placement of 10 kitchen pods made of reused shipping containers. They are not, it's important to note, these are not technically considered mobile vending units in our code. Our code very specifically defines what a mobile vending unit is. They are not on an axle. They are basically a small accessory structures directly associated with the primary use of the tap house. Some limited changes to parking, circulation, and landscaping, most notably the loss of the parking spaces where the kitchen pods are going. A look at the site plan here. The building, as it exists today and will exist in the future, along here is where the food cart or food kitchen pods will go. Over this area here, the sidewalk, a canopy will be extended to kind of provide weather cover to patrons going out to the pods, as well as roll top doors along that facade where there's currently windows to have to kind of open that wall, let people kind of move freely between the spaces. Fred, I'm not sure. It looked like you were saying something, but you're on mute. So if you have something to. Yeah. Let me see if I can.
There. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. Yeah. Plus, there's overhead doors going back by the patio area there.
Oh,
yeah.
Back to the patio as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
One of the perspective renderings of the site showing the modified facade and the shipping containers. One of the things I thought was kind of an interesting way of softening the impact. Fred, I'm going to go ahead. I think I'm getting feedback from yours because it had gone away. So I'm going to temporarily mute you.
Okay, that's fine.
There we go. Okay. One of the kind of interesting, so shipping containers are pretty industrial in character. One of the interesting moves I thought proposed were these trellises with trained vines on them to kind of soften that edge a little bit visually as relates to the parking area. As for the landscape, most of the landscape, the site was previously developed with an approved landscape plan. I am proposing a condition of approval, basically saying that the previously approved landscape plan, to the extent that it has been lost over time or not maintained, should be restored or replaced. Much of it may still be there, but you know, over the years, plants do ebb and flow and come and go. So that is one of my proposed conditions of approval. I'll be interested to have more conversation on that point. A look at the elevation that I was just talking about with the, so this top image is the existing condition. The middle image is the proposed condition of the building itself. And then the lower image is the proposed condition of the build, of the modified building with the shipping containers. Likewise, the shipping containers themselves, they're the half width, so approximately 20-foot shipping containers. Roll-top service doors facing the restaurant. The rear, and Fred, maybe correct me if I'm wrong with a good thumbs up, thumbs down on this. My understanding is that the rear doors will actually be permanently closed, and the access to them will be exclusively through the man door on the side. Okay, that's what I thought. It comes to bear because of the clearance of the circulation of parking areas. So that was my understanding, but I just wanted to verify. And then the addition of the signboards identifying the kind of food you get there and the plant trellises. Each of them is to be painted its own distinct color. They kind of they won't have the color or markings of a shipping container. They'll be painted with a new purpose, new specific color, and each a different color. Some site illustrations. Kind of everyone loves a good rendering. I know I do. So currently, staff is recommending approval with conditions. Emily Merklin, as I mentioned, from our sustainability division, is here with Kelly to talk in a little bit more detail about the standards of 1021 as for sustainability and solid waste recycling enclosures. As I mentioned, I'm recommending a condition of approval that the landscape plan from the previous development approval be kind of reinstated to the extent that it has deteriorated or been lost over time. As I also think touched on, each of these carts is shown with a sign, individual sign or sign board, as well as the re-signing of the building. Those were kind of all shown in the proposal for scale or kind of in a general way. But those each of those signs will need to go through a building permit process and will be checked for the standards of ZDO 1010, which governs signs, at the point of the building permit. So So with that, that is my staff overview. Happy to go into depth on any of those things or any other things at the committee's discretion.
Any questions by the committee members?
I think it's a very novel approach and very creative. It's good to see something like this.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this is a fun adaptation of this building, and I think it'll ideally draw some people or more people to that corner. So,
Daryl, any thoughts?
Oh, Daryl, you're on mute there. Let me go ahead and unmute you if I can.
I'm here, right?
Yes, now I hear you.
Can we go to the elevation of the I noticed that you're showing a brick. It looks like a brick planter, but on your plans, this is a 14-inch steel planter. Fred needs to come back on, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
In front of each of the containers, there's going to be a steel box, which basically is going to be a steel planter box. It'll be the full width of the container, 12 inches deep, 14 inches high.
Okay. I noticed you had some steps. So.
Oh, yeah. The steps are between the containers, and that you have to step up two steps to get into each of the containers.
Okay.
So we align the doors back to back with a wooden step. You go up two steps, so you can enter the. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. And so my comment is, if you had icy conditions, and you know, you get some on that steps, I don't think you have any roofs there.
No, there's no roofs. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, someone could slip on those steps and hit that metal edge right there.
Yes.
And so that, you know, if they hit it, it was brick, they break their arm. If they hit it and it was metal, it would cut it in half.
Yeah, right, right. I totally get that.
That's a I think that's a concern.
Okay.
I think you need some curb stops, install maybe curb stops or a curb to keep people from backing into your building and backing in from those other spaces. There's not going to be any. Either way, I mean, you're not going to lose anything because the curb stop is just going to stop the wheel. The bumper is going to come to, you know, that'll be a warning.
Can you go back to the rendering? Yeah. We had thought about that. You know, we had talked about putting bollards on there, but then we realized, you know, the steel container is like a battleship. So if somebody backs into it, it'd be like backing into your car.
But if you got, I mean, these big. Okay, well, if that's anyway, that's a concern. If you put wheel stops, see, it wouldn't do anything, and almost establish kind of like a pedestrian sidewalk, you know.
It'd be a barrier, basically. What it would be.
And it'd be a warning, you know. And also, if you have a truck, you know, like these big four wheel drives, their bumper would probably go over the 14 inches and slam into your building. And either way, I mean. All that metal hooked together with a metal steel planter, it's going to be like a barrier, but it's going to maybe still. Anyway, that's a comment. It's not a, you know, it's a comment. You might get some.
Okay. We could look at it and think about it.
Yeah, I would think about some wheel stops all in a line, and then that keep that, you know, and then they back in, they feel the bumper, and they would be right there.
Okay.
Sure would save you a lot in the. Then also, you know, it's just a design idea, but if you brought, do you have gates in between to keep people from in between those?
You mean for the man doors to get into the carts?
Yeah, are there?
No, we don't have a gate per se there. No, we were trying to, you know, give some kind of separation between the units, and you know, a gate would just be so cumbersome for the tenants because they're going to be going in and out of those doors all day long.
Yeah, I didn't. I couldn't tell. So I'm not saying one, but idea would be to just a design idea to bring your trellises as an arch.
Kind of create an opening or something.
And then that would unify that all those structures together with and then the vines would. It would unify it without the vines, and then with the vines coming over each one of those passageways, it'd bring the whole thing together.
Got it.
So it's a design thing. You want to ensure, I know you don't have a planning plan for this, but if you're going to do that, we are confident that you're going to put vines on there and not spend all this money. You know, you'll have vines, some ground cover, and some shrubs in those planters.
They'll be irrigated and drained.
I suggest to use bubblers instead of a drip irrigation.
Use what?
That's another. You only got about the equivalent of about three bathtubs there. Okay. Those are my comments.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question in regard to planting, Daryl. You've got this metal building with a metal planter that is adjacent to asphalt. That's a lot of heat. I'm wondering, we don't want to set up something that would just get fried in the summer heat.
Is that, but what are we talking, is this a east elevation? I mean, is it coming from the sun? Is this east?
It is, the trailers are facing, let me see, 80.
So the sun,
they're facing east.
Yeah. Yeah, let me get to my drawings here. I get, north, south. Well, they're on the north side.
Oh, they are on the north side. So the sun, okay, so
hold on, they got the wrong north arrow here.
The arrow is on the other
south. Well, they're facing east, so they're gonna get let me see here. They'll get
they're facing the north is on the I can pull it up too.
The north is on Sunnybrook. Sunnybrook.
Yeah. So okay. So they are on the north. They're those vines are on the north side.
On the east side.
Oh, they're on the east side. Well, I thought I saw, like you said, the north was not up.
I have the site plan up on the screen if you can see it.
I can, but it's somehow it's the north arrow is on the very bottom.
Oh,
going up 82nd.
North south. That's 80 because 82nd over here runs north south.
Yeah, runs north south. So you got south facing, north south way. Yeah, they're on the east side.
Okay.
So they'll get a little bit of sun, but I don't think the solar gain is going to be any more than what it was when it was black asphalt in that same location.
Well, we were we're concerned about the plants, but they
the plants. But if they're vines are very hardy, and with irrigation and drainage in those planters, I mean they should thrive.
Yeah, I think on the east side they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I think they should be fine.
Yeah, that was a concern if they were from the west or the south, like
recently. Yes, yeah, if they got full sun all the time, but I don't think they're not going to get full sun.
Jennifer, did you have anything to add?
No, it looks great.
So, general question, not really land use per se. So, is all the cooking taking place in a centralized kitchen and then moved to the storage containers?
No, all the cooking will be done in the containers.
Okay.
And then you'll be served, and then you go inside the restaurant and eat. So the existing kitchen that was in the restaurant, that will be used for the storing of food for the containers. They'll use it as a prep area probably in the morning to get their stuff together out into the trailers. But all the cooking is done in the trailers.
Okay.
Well, they have, Class A hood systems in there with fire extinguishers. That whole thing is for all kinds of cooking, deep frying, flat frying, whatever they want to use, they can use in those containers.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'm closing the hearing for discussion and potentially a motion.
I have a question. So is it also takeout? I mean, you could just go get the food and take off. You don't have
to. Yes. We've created four spot drive up, to go or drive up to pick up food. So people could pull in there. You could, call ahead. You can order your food and take it just like a normal food truck kind of situation. I would anticipate 50% of the sales could be takeout, in a place like this. You never know. I mean, with a new model of the pandemic, there's a lot of takeout now.
Anthony, do we need to hear from the sustainability staff?
I think, maybe just briefly, Emily, if you have thoughts you'd like to share on this one.
Good morning, everybody. So throughout the pre-application phase and then moving into this application, the applicant has worked with us in the garbage enclosure space, which we think will add to the only thing that I'll ask for is additional details about no parking signs, bumpers, and then we need to take a look at the grease capture space because there's some conflicting information in the plan sets about exactly where the grease would be. But otherwise, just want to thank the applicant for kind of working through this to extend the enclosure space. So we feel good with the conditions that we've provided to Anthony that he's included in the staff report.
Any comment from the applicant on this? Nope. Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve file number Z0088-21-D with the conditions of approval recommended by staff.
I have a second. Tracy, second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? None? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Fred. Just as a word, a kind of process going forward from here for you, I will incorporate the kind of comments from this meeting. Some of which were advisory in nature. I'll put those in the advisory notes section. They won't be, so for instance, the curb stops along the planters and the arch trellises, I will include those comments as advisory notes, but they won't be conditions of approval.
All right.
I think there's some pretty good stuff there. So.
Yep. All right. So I appreciate your time, Anthony.
All right. So look for that decision by the end of the week to get it turned around pretty quick.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Fred.
Bye. Bye.
So now I will promote the applicants for our next project up, and we can take it off. Take it from there.
Do you need to change your PowerPoint before we resume?
The way I put them together is actually
a
continuous one. So we just go on to the next.
Okay. Oh,
and if you can hear me, I just pulled up the plan. I was able to get the plan. And North is, as far as the site plan, it's...
oriented wrong?
It's those The parking, it's mainly, it's, yeah, it's on the north, the major, you know, facades of those containers.
North by the North Arrow?
Yeah, north by the North Arrow on the side. Yeah,
I think the North Arrow is wrong.
Okay, the North Arrow is wrong. Okay, well, yeah. Then I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I got you. I get the confusion for sure.
No wonder I'm confused. I could have swore I remembered the North Arrow being...
Okay. Yeah, no, you remembered the North Arrow correctly, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we have a whole bunch of good people here. So the next item is Z00955-21-D, new commercial industrial infill development on Highway 224 and Southeast 130th. Anthony?
Okay. And I think just briefly, if I can introduce Nang and Tuan, I believe that they are with Mildred Design Group for the applicants team, as well as Beth and Teresa from AAI, the planner and landscape architect on the project. I see that maybe there's another, I think.
Looks like Fred's still there.
Well, yeah, he's welcome to hang out. That's cool.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I think there's another member of the applicant's team for this project in, but I don't know.
Yeah, this is Norm Shag with the civil engineering with AAI.
Great. Hey, Norm. Thank you for joining us. All right. So, next project up. So this is Z00951, some commercial industrial infill on a historic site in the Clackamas Industrial Area. As I mentioned, the site is set in the Clackamas Industrial Area at the intersection of Highway 212 and Southeast 130th. Has light industrial zoning with the historic preservation overlay. In our inventory of designated sites, the site is known as the Haberlock House and the Silver Thread Kraut and Pickle Works. The Silver Thread Kraut and Pickle Works building is also Clackamas Feed, or Clackamas, the feed store on the property. It's a large red barn. It was the subject of a request for demolition at a previous meeting of the Historic Review Board. At that meeting, that body voted for a 60-day stay of demolition in order to provide some additional time to try to find an alternative use for the structure. No such use was found. 60 days expired, and so the applicant intends to move forward with the demolition as allowed by our ordinance. The site itself, just to orient you again, up here on the north side of the property, Highway 212, Southeast 130th, some kind of interesting cherry stem annexation of Happy Valley on two of the four sides, so go figure.
Anthony, I can't see your... screen for some reason.
It's interesting. Is everybody? Let me try.
It's just me then. It's okay.
Yeah, it might just be you. Sorry. I think if I can help you troubleshoot that quick. Okay, let me try something.
I see it now.
Okay, good. Okay. Applicant is proposing three buildings on the site. Building one is along Highway 212. Building two is internal to the site, set at the southeast corner of the site. And building three faces onto Southeast 130th. This is along with new parking, circulation, and landscaping. So this building up here, that's building one. Building two is the rectangular building up here. And then over here, we have building three. The site in perspective, you'll note that the facades of the building that face onto the public ways are pretty well articulated. Step back to show a fair amount of definition of the roof line. We'll take a look at the materials in a little more depth here in a moment. But they really do, especially this building, which follows Highway 212, stepping back in a way that kind of leads the eye to the remaining historic home on the property. Building materials, what is proposed is standing seam metal roof, pretty common in terms of agricultural architecture, kind of harkens back to the barn that is being demolished from the site, and then a waterfall edge of that material down the side for kind of a contemporary interpretation of the barn. And then on the facades of most of these buildings, actual wood stained red or chestnut, again, a tie back to the barn and the agricultural history of the site. Notable, the tilt-up concrete wall portions are proposed in pewter to be painted. I have some notes and comments that will come to bear a little bit later in terms of the use of color and kind of how those expanses of wall might be differently expressed in some places. A look at the landscape plan. I did note as I looked through the planting list that some of the species of trees didn't meet a couple of our standards for the size and dimensions at planting. So I've included a condition of approval relative to that, as well as note that in the illustration, I believe that there are some trees shown along 130th. However, in the landscape plan, they weren't there, so I've included a condition of approval to ensure that we put street trees as required by our ordinance along Southeast 130th. I think the panel members will note that is what is shown is a curb-tight sidewalk. In the industrial area especially, where there is a condition where the site where the curb will remain, sorry, where the sidewalk will remain curb tight, we have allowed for street trees to be planted to the inside of the sidewalk rather than the landscape strip along the road. So the position of the sidewalk need not prevent the placement of street trees. So in terms of the buildings themselves, building one, I think is particularly on its public-facing facade along Southeast, Highway 211, or sorry, 212, quite well-conceived, as well as here. Have a little bit more conversation about this tilt-up panel facing the historic home here in a moment. Likewise, again, the public-facing portion, quite well-conceived, and likewise, a little more conversation to be had maybe about the portion facing the public road as well as the historic home, this north elevation of the building here. One of my conditions of approval specific to building two addresses the building design standards of 1005-04A, which talks about the architectural expression and articulation of the facade through a couple of different points. Four buildings that are either visible from a public street, which per this rendering, building two quite is, and any facade which has a public entrance to the building. So in the context of building two, this would be considered the public entrance to the building. And so this is the facade that we'd be looking at relative to the standards of 1005-04A. My recommendation is for approval with conditions. A couple of conditions that I proffered in the original staff recommendation. One, addressing that facade of building two. The second, addressing the street trees along 130th Avenue. The third, talking about the landscaping materials and the dimensional standards for maturity at the time of installation. A fourth one, looking to just designate and identify the loading zones that are required by ZBO 1015, as well as just continuing to work with Emily of our sustainability division. I believe the applicant has been in some kind of communication with her just to ensure that the trash enclosure on the site is of adequate size for three buildings of the size. My standard condition of approval, just to make sure that the landscape is installed and irrigated as shown in the site plan, as well as a cross-check against the signs. The sign panels and locations of signs on all these buildings are shown in the drawings. They integrate nicely, in my opinion, with the kind of design of the buildings themselves. So we'll be looking for the dimensions and material qualities of those signs relative to section 1010 when those signs come in for their individual building permits. So those are the conditions of approval, which I shared in my initial staff recommendation. I mentioned that the project was presented to our historic review board towards the end of last week. And there were, passed a memo along to you all yesterday. It was a spirited conversation about this project, and one which ended without a recommendation of approval or a recommendation of denial. The panel landed on a 3-3 tie on the project. So they reviewed it, offered comments to staff, but did not take action on a recommendation either way. As a result of that conversation, and taking a look at how some of the facades address the historic home, and kind of as a result of some of the feedback and thoughts of the historic review board members, I determined that I had not adequately considered the impact of those of two of the tilt-up concrete walls which face the historic home on the character of the historic home and on the site. So in hopes of finding an approach by which some of that impact could be mitigated without asking the applicant for quite costly changes to significant changes to roof lines or the site layout or the site design, I put forward a couple of additional conditions, which I'll just touch on briefly now. One, the tilt-up portion of the west elevation of Building 1, and I'm happy to go back to, let me actually go ahead and go back to the drawing so I can actually walk you through these as on the building itself. So this is Building 1. What I'm proposing additionally on the west elevation of Building 1 is some changes to the color of this tilt-up concrete panel, so it, well, the wall, so it integrates a little bit more cohesively with the more articulated portion. There is existing a proposed planter bed along here, and so what I'm asking is the inclusion of two trellises of essentially the proportions of the storefront glass to kind of continue that rhythm of kind of object to void along that wall, as well as to soften the nature of the wall, and a more articulated cornice line trim along here in keeping with the character of the historic home. In terms of Building 3, which has a similar condition, a similar state, I should say, I'm asking for similar conditions. However, I'm not on this one. There is not a planting bed existing proposed along the north elevation. And so I'm not asking them to install one. Sorry, yes, Nan?
I think there is not the planting bed, but there is a sidewalk, and right on the side of the sidewalk, we do have planting, and we do also have a tree on that. If you can go to landscape planned, L1.0, right?
We would have to reverse what we have there and put the sidewalk to the outside and the green space to the inside next to the building if we were to replicate that.
Right.
And if that's something you'd be comfortable doing, then I would be very supportive of it. Because there wasn't a planting bed already in place proposed directly adjacent to the wall, and not wanting to ask the applicant to undertake engineering and kind of site redesign expense on, like, I tried to keep a balanced approach to what I was asking, I guess.
And this is Teresa, I'm the landscape architect. And I think one of the issues we might encounter by flipping the sidewalk and the planter strip is having trees a little too close to the building. And trees are required along that entrance by code.
So I appreciate the idea of having the planter along there. I think it's, given the perfect world, I would say yes, just add another planter bed, but that drive aisle is quite constrained already. It's already at, I think, 24 or 26 feet, which is getting quite close to the minimum for two-way travel. Certainly open to site changes that the applicant might put forward to allow for those trellises, but I also, knowing that the site, I want to acknowledge, I think the site is quite well designed to begin with. And so we're just trying to address these smaller issues with a limited scope of conditions.
I think, Anthony, I appreciate your comments. I think for building one, we do like your ideas. And we would be willing to add the trellises there and create that kind of softer edge and more interest. Absolutely. I think part of some of the renderings that I'd like to note, part of the rendering process is we wanted to kind of show the building and not necessarily like you look at that building now and we really see there should be three trees in front of building three, but it's not shown. So it looks really bare. It looks really kind of stark. We are willing to do something there, but part of it is at ground level, you don't really see building one hardly because there's so much foliage. Only in this bird's eye view do you really see them. So on the ground, it's really obscure. So just wanted to point that out, but I think overall, we would definitely consider doing the trellis and the plantings on building one and, you know, doing something on building two behind the trees if need be to kind of add a little interest.
So those, broadly speaking, are my proposed conditions. Maybe we'll take a beat here. And committee members, glad to answer whatever questions you might have for me about kind of my thought process on that or engage in conversation with the applicant.
I have one question. What is going on in front of the existing historic home as far as landscaping? Is that a detention structure out there or grass? It was kind of unclear what that exactly.
That's just an existing area there now. There's grass there, and I believe there's a couple little statues or art pieces. Yeah, I mean, it's existing. We didn't really touch it. Yeah, we don't. Okay. We're not touching that area.
That was the only question I had.
Anthony, I do have one question. You mentioned something about updating the cornice in a couple of areas. Did you have something specific in mind there? I mean, you mentioned articulation, but I'm personally a little hesitant to articulate it too much.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't. Okay. And that's of the conditions I put forward, that's probably the one that I feel least certain of, I guess I'll say.
Okay.
And so I'd be either open to either a specific recommendation to strengthen it or to remove it.
Okay.
Of course.
Because I think my only suggestion is if we do end up going that route with that suggestion that we just, if anything, you maybe just strengthen it a little bit, but you don't make
you
want that part of the building to kind of fade to the background a little bit, so yeah, like the more exactly. You necessarily want to draw attention to that cornice too much, so that'd be my one.
And I think what we've done with the adding of the trellises and the landscape vines there will help to kind of pull your eye down. Mm-hmm. And then the landscape that we're adding to the south of the house is going to kind of pull your attention that way too, as you drive into the site. So I think there's some really good efforts here to kind of pull your eyes to some of the nice green spaces and landscaping design.
That was my only concern, was just with that particular one.
Yeah. Thank you for that comment.
Yeah, I think that's good note. Thank you.
Is there some thought about, well, I don't know the tilt-up portion of the building and its concern relating to the historic building. Is it a smooth texture?
It's a slightly textured finish. It's not a smooth paint, but it's slightly textured.
I don't know if there's any opportunities there.
What were you thinking?
Well, I believe the house has kind of a shingle looking mm-hmm. effect on it. Maybe some modern version of that, if that were something that could be part of the, I don't know. I'm just noodling the idea here. Just so it's not, I mean, I understand that you're working on softening it with landscaping, but my planner background tells me that plants don't always survive, but the exterior of the building obviously will. So I don't know if there's any opportunities to enhance that texture.
It's really difficult to replicate some sort of siding with tilt-up concrete because, as you're probably familiar, you know, you pour a slab for the building, and then you basically pour the forms of the tilt-up panel straight on that slab, and you lift it.
Yeah,
so that's your face. So trying to replicate some sort of texture on that is pretty difficult and pretty expensive.
Just offering a suggestion.
Yes, thank you.
Just, I guess, maybe in part from my own knowledge. So I'm not an architect. I will 100% cop to not being an architect. Were that I was, but I'm not. Is there a process or an approach to doing some of these tilt-up panels that could achieve the effect that we see on some buildings of a board formed concrete where it's, I know that's typically, I think it's cast in place maybe when it's board formed, but is there a mold or some equivalent thing you could use when casting the panel or could spec the panel to be cast in a way that would have that pattern or a similar pattern on a portion of the wall?
I think I would say yes, there is a way.
Sure. I mean, with all things, there's a way.
It just remains to be what that is and what the extent of it is. I think, you know, it's always, tilt's kind of a fine line. You try not to build them too thick because of the expense of the additional concrete and so forth. So it's a very economical system. That's why, economical in today, I guess it's relative, but that's why we use it.
That's why it's used for these big industrial projects.
Yes.
At the same time, I also wanted to point out that in the tilted panel we have the reveal line that is sort of correspond to some of the architectural feature we have. But mainly, I do understand the concerns of those panel, but when we look at the Harbor Love House, the restaurants that is out there, when we are facing the locations of the main visual impact in those locations, we do have articulations. For example, the pitch roof that is sort of mimicking what is the existing building. Only in the area in the back, we have to remind ourselves that even though we're trying to, sort of make the design compatible to the historical building, we can't forget that the site itself is also an industrial zone as well, and that also a functionality that attached to that type of building typology. So we do find places, if you look at even the aerial building, aerial photograph, or even the site plan, we do try to articulate locations that are adjacent to the historical building where it's different material, the texture itself, just to soften out the location that is adjacent to that, right?
Yeah, I think you've done a real good job emulating the roof line of the historic building. This was just an extra step. And I think Anthony articulated what I was trying to get at. You know, if the historic review board, which both Todd and I have taken a turn in the barrel there, was concerned about the loss of the other historic buildings, that at least on the facade facing the house, some sort of plank looking, which you've captured on the front facade with the articulated roof images, I think would be a big win there. And yes, it is in an industrial area, but you're also creating a commercial use. Chetimer, do you have anything? You there?
No.
Daryl?
Yeah. So if we can go back to building one, the facade, and what is it, the west elevation, I believe, is what Anthony was referring to.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's correct.
You're suggesting about the trellis, I believe, is, you know, to pick up on that, I think, to me, to integrate all three buildings is to have, you know, I know we have another landscape architect here, but since they're essentially, you know, your trellis idea, and then, you know, just a simple, some simple straight lines, and then on your building three, so some simple straight lines of plants along that, along the base. And then on building three, do shift the sidewalk to the outside. You, it looks like you're going to have a 5-foot planter strip and another simple base of linear plants along the base, and then emulate your idea of the trellises, bring them on over so that you unify one and three buildings. And then on the historic, where you've got these kind of wavy or more organic lines, I suggest another straight line of shrubs that emulate the straight line of shrubs along the base of building one, the straight lines of shrubs along the base of building two, and then a straight line along the curb of the historical to then tie those three places together with the straight lines of just a simple shrub. And then you can incorporate all this other stuff if you'd like. But I think then you'd have three straight lines of simple shrubs that would unite those three places. The trellises would unite building one and three. And as far as, and then somehow maybe some elevation, you know, you have a 5-foot, I know we're historical here, but everything else is going kind of modern. I suggest, you know, if you don't have a lot of room for some elevation along building one and along building three, perhaps some skyrocket junipers. They'll grow to 15 to 17 feet. They'll only grow 3 feet wide. They won't crowd anything. And you can have like three on each facade and then bring a couple more skyrockets on the other side. And it doesn't have to be real formal, but it would just reunite everything together.
This is Teresa. Thank you for your input. If I could walk you through the planting plan a little bit, I think you'll see that I've already done a lot of what you suggested.
I honestly can't read anything with what they sent me.
Well, I know, and that's why I was going to kind of walk you through it. It's a little hard when it's on the screen and at this scale, but I don't know, maybe Anthony, if you could focus in on the intersection between the three buildings, the interior of the three buildings there with the entrance.
Yeah, give me just one moment. I will I'll bring up the PDF of the planting plan itself, and then we'll have some, maybe we can zoom and screen around more clearly.
Because I've actually used DeGroote's Spire, which is a very narrow, tall arborvitae, evergreen head tree that is just going to do the same thing that you were. I'm sorry, I don't remember what.
Oh, skyrocket.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you can see there that there are lines of shrubs as you enter. Well, he hasn't gotten it pulled up yet. But there's an evergreen hedge on each side of the entrance for adjacent to the historical house. The hedge takes a little curve because it had a little more room there. That's the same hedge. You've got some trees that come in there, and then you've got some similar trees for the parking lot coverage. I have to look at Red Sunsets. Oh, now that went away completely. The plan.
I'm in the process of getting one that's a little bit more legible on the screen.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. So bear with me a second.
Well, that gives me a chance to check. The legend's not on this sheet, so I also have to go back and forth.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
Of course, now my computer is frozen.
That darn traffic report every time.
Every time. It's all those engineering drawings. No offense to engineers, but yeah, your drawings are so big. All right, where are we? Can I go past it? No. Here we go. All right. Is that any better?
I don't know if you can zoom in a little bit.
Oh, sure.
And then now, yeah, scroll up just a hair so we get that entrance at the bottom. Because I kind of do want to address how I approach the quote unquote facade of the tilt-up buildings. Mm-hmm. If you'll notice, there's a couple of De Groot spires at the corner of the building number 3, and then as it turns, you'll see 3 of those similar symbols that are kind of darker than the rest of the hedge, and those are the De Groot spires. And I work with the architect's elevations when I do my landscape plan. And when I see one of the, like a tilt-up building like this, I always try to put a vertical, a tall vertical element to break up the massing. So between their score joints in the facade and the landscape, there should be some additional relief that you may not see in those renderings, because like Tuan said, those are really done to show you the building and maybe not, because if we put the landscape in, then you'd be like, well, what's the building look like behind it? So there's some of that when you look at the planting plan. Also, building number 1 does the same thing at the end or the southern edge of the elevation. There are 2 of those tall, narrow evergreen shrubs that will kind of balance the one end that has the pitched roof. So there's a little, instead of 1, I use 2 to create a little bit more mass. So again, that elevation is not as stark as it may appear in the rendering once you add the landscaping. So I hope that helps to answer and alleviate a few of the fears about the buildings being kind of stark.
Yeah, I didn't see those are arborvitae, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see those on number 3, on building 3.
Yeah, see the darker 1, 2, 3.
Not on the facade that we're talking about. Oh, we're talking about this facade.
Yes, I'm yes.
I thought this is number, I thought we were talking about number three.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I have the wrong building number. Pardon me.
We want to talk about the little building. I think if you would like to see some of those tall vertical elements on the very far west building, building three.
Yeah.
Then yes, we can definitely accommodate that. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would push it, push the sidewalk. I mean, reverse it, and then take your arborvita, your columnar arborvita, and put a couple of those along with the trellises that Anthony had suggested on building number one. And then also more of a straight, or your hedge, more of a straight line on the other side to match. And then this straight line of hedge against building number one, that's on number three on the sidewalk number, bring that just against there, just real simple. And then more of a straight line. And then a couple of those arborvita, along with that hedge along to the historic building. And then that'll tie all three of those units together somewhat.
Yeah, I like that. I like that notion. Teresa, does that present any kind of planting issues with us?
I don't. The only question I would have would be for Anthony is if we swapped out the three deciduous trees, mm-hmm. because it was required to have quote unquote street trees with the arborvitae. And I don't believe the arborvitae are considered a street tree. Along that southern entrance, because we had to switch. Originally, we had the planter bed against the northern edge of building three, and we had the sidewalk on the southern edge, and we had to switch that to accommodate the trees.
Got it.
So that you may need to make it, if that's the case, within the direction we want to go, maybe there's an exception made that those trees can be the arborvitae instead of a deciduous.
Do you know which of just off the top? I don't remember. I don't know which standard requires street trees on site. I know that we have standards for
parking lot trees, actually, aren't they?
No, it has to do with the entrance standard. Beth, do you have that? You've sent it to me once before.
Because yeah, depending on where it lives in the 1000 series, we could, they could be modified. There's some things that we can modify. There's some things we can't.
If you'll hang on a minute, I'll search through my email and I can probably bring it up, but it'll take me just a second.
Yeah, no worries.
Oh, here we go. It's section 1005.03, General Site Design Standards.
Okay.
If the distance between the building and public entrance to the street is 75 feet or greater and located adjacent to a driveway or in a parking lot, the walkway shall be raised with the curbs and a minimum 4-foot wide landscape strip and shade trees planted, a maximum of 30 feet on center.
Great. And thank you for that. So being a standard of, I'm of two minds on this a little bit, because on one hand, I think that it's a balance that I think we, it's worth a conversation worth having, because that is a standard that can be modified. But it's a balancing of priorities, I think. Because on one hand, you have the main pedestrian access to building two being not shaded and put right against the drive aisle versus the facade of building three having a planter bed next to it, enabling some columnar trees and potentially vines on the trellis. So I think both have a lot of merit to them. It's a standard that can be modified. And I'll be honest, I'm really torn on which kind of, I think when it comes right down to it, I think I lean towards the standard as it's written because it relates to pedestrian safety. And I think that the deciduous trees, as proposed, provide a public good by way of the shade, and their provision will achieve some of the softening that we'd be seeking to do by having the planting right up against the building, while also reducing the potential for maintenance costs to the owner over time with landscape directly adjacent to the building. Certainly open to more conversation, but that's kind of my gut reaction. If we had to choose hamburger A or hamburger B, that's the one that seems the tastiest to me right now.
Well, let me ask you this, Anthony. Let's go. Can we go back to the site plan real quick?
Absolutely. Sorry, my desk phone is ringing. And I can't just pick it up and hang up on that. That's very rude. I could, but not going to.
So you see in our, if we can look at that a little bit, you can see that our sidewalk is clearly tight against the building. Is there a way, I guess, to take away a little bit of the planting strip and create a little notch? Let's say that we keep the three trees the way they are today, but take the sidewalk and we kind of ease around little planting areas, maybe two spots where we can effectively add the trellises. And so it's a little bit of a winding path around there where we're reducing this required planting strip in areas, not all areas, but that vine tail gives us the ability to put the vines on the building side. And that, to me, that kind of is a kind of happy medium where we're saying the trellis on building three really echoes the trellis on building one. And, kind of that ties the campus together.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really great suggestion. And that's something I would be comfortable with, that modification, because I think it does kind of achieve both objectives of having those trellises on the building and also providing shade. The standard, it would be a relatively minor modification to the standard, because ultimately the width would be the same. It'd be a 5-foot sidewalk. It would just be one that kind of meanders a little bit as it gets there.
Can't you just make the planter strip 4? Is it 5 feet? Can't you make it just 4 feet wide, the planter strip, and then just have a 1 foot? You're only going to need a foot for the trellis and the vines. You're only going to need a foot of planting strip, or even maybe 6 inches.
That's another option. I mean, these are all great suggestions. I'm not a landscape architect, so I don't know what the implications of 4 feet for root space versus 5 feet for the trees.
Well, 4 feet's fine. I'm a little bit would be a little bit concerned with anything less than a foot, because by the time you have a sidewalk and a building foundation, you really don't have much in the way of soil.
Right. But yeah, I mean, if we want to...
possibility. And then you can change the trees. I mean, if you think that they're too big for that.
Offsetting the sidewalk, just offsetting it a foot from the building to create a narrow planter strip to support those trellises might be easier to construct, I don't know, than kind of a wavy path.
Yeah, it just remains whether, you know, the footings are down deep enough so that the plants can survive. I mean, if they're, it's only a foot wide.
So I'm open to all of these, any or all of these options.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly look at it.
Another comment, is this on building three, the trellises are on the north side?
Yes,
that's correct.
So they're not gonna bake as far as, okay.
However, on building one, they are on the west facing elevation. So they should get a fair amount of sun.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, and then I just like to reiterate, I think we should have a little bit more straight lines on the historic side of the same shrubs, just because there's straight lines against.
You're talking right in this area?
Yeah, instead of the curve, just because there's straight lines on the other side. And I don't see a real reason for that curve except for, you know, that still is probably up to the, anyway, that's my comment, just to unify everything so it all kind of matches. I know it's maybe boring, but I'm done.
Right. Thank you, Daryl. Those are some great comments. If I can kind of summarize what I think I've heard, in terms of, I don't feel like I've heard. Let me go to the conditions. Well, maybe Rita, would it be helpful for me to kind of summarize what I've heard, or should I just? Would you prefer I hand it off to the committee members to discuss what might be appropriate by way of conditions?
Please summarize so we can refine if need be.
Great. So what I think I've heard is generally, as opposed in terms of the conditions proffered in the original staff recommendation, I don't believe I've heard much by way of concern or issue with those. In terms of the proposed conditions stemming from the historic review board meeting, I think what I've heard is general comfort with as we look at them here, the conditions for color of the tilt-up concrete wall, so paint, essentially. Trellises on building one, as well as minor modification to the landscape plan, replacement of the sidewalk along the north edge of building three to allow for an equivalent arrangement of trellises, and perhaps the idea of omitting or further clarifying the conditions related to the cornice line of those two buildings, as well as some great advisory comments about linearity of landscape design and potential for plant selection. Although I think ultimately, both landscape architects were talking about kind of a columnar evergreen species that are, if not the same, then relatively equivalent.
Daryl, does that capture it for you?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Any other comments from the applicant?
No, we feel good. We feel good about the comments today. We appreciate them a lot.
All right. Do we still have our sustainability folks here? Is that an issue?
No, they jumped off the call. So they did put forward a condition of approval just to ensure that the trash enclosure is adequately sized, but that's something they'll work with the applicant at the building permit process.
Well, I guess we'll close the hearing and look for a motion, please, from the committee.
Um, I'll make a motion to approve Z0095-21-D with the proposed conditions of approval, along with the additional conditions that Anthony provided in the memo based on the historic board's review, along with, how do we want to put that? Some advisory notes about the cornice and the linearity of the landscaping materials, the trellis on building three.
I would recommend we maybe omit the cornice.
I would be okay with that. Yeah.
I think not having the cornice actually makes the historic building more prominent.
And it brings more attention to the portions of the building that they did articulate, which
correct.
I think, yeah, I'm fine with that. So yes, let's omit the cornice condition. Everyone's on board.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a second.
One second.
I have a clarifying question before we do. Tracy mentioned the contents of the memo related to the historic building. Do we need to specify anything in particular? Mm-hmm. Anthony?
Specify in terms of kind of a tie to the zoning and development ordinance, or to kind of tighten the terms in the conditions from that memo? Or I just want to make sure I'm understanding the question.
Well, maybe Tracy, you could share your thoughts of why you included it.
I think because, well, it's just these are the additional, the ones that are on the screen now, those are the additional ones from that memo. So since they were issued as a separate document, that's the only reason
got it.
I referenced it that way.
Does that make sense, Anthony?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So in terms of the ones that are on the screen, I will be amending the section 707 portion of the staff recommendation that I provided earlier to reflect the concerns that were raised at the Historic Review Board related to the condition related to compatibility, and then be including condition 1A through C and condition 2A, as well as a revised 2B to address the linear landscape feature and the trellises now to be added to building three as well.
Ooh. Is that clear to everybody?
I got it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Hearing none? We're done.
All right.
Thank you to the applicants. I think it's
very
creative. Thank
you, Design Review Board. Yeah, thank you, Anthony, for supporting our project.
Absolutely. Really glad to do it. I think it's a great one. I really do. So I'm looking forward to seeing it come out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So very similar timeline for, as I mentioned to the previous applicant, in terms of getting the staff decision turned around and issued back out to you. And by all means, if any questions should arise between now and then or subsequent to that staff decision being sent out.
So Anthony, can you confirm, so with this approval, we can start working on construction documents towards moving towards the permitting drawings?
Correct. So
based on these conditions?
Yeah, based on these conditions, most of the conditions we'll be checking against the point of building permit. So basically,
okay,
before we sign off on the permit, we'll say, okay, well, did the sidewalk move a foot? Is there a trellis there? You know,
terrific.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thanks, you everyone.
Too. Thanks. I got to jump on another call.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Take care. Right. I'm going to stop recording. So, you know.
Ciao.
Somehow. I can figure that out.